Good morning. My name is Christy Smith, and I'm a math teacher at Butler Senior High School. Currently, I teach Keystone Algebra, Algebra 1, and Intro to Technical Mathematics. I would like to start today with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Today's storm quote is, "With the new day comes new strength and new thoughts," Eleanor Roosevelt. So today I'm here to talk to you a little bit about the connection between mathematics and some common things that you might not think of when it comes to math. So every year for the last 14 years that I've taught at Butler Senior High School, I have had Algebra 1 classes. And one of the most common questions that I get in Algebra 1 is frustrated students during difficult lessons asking, "Mrs. Smith, when am I going to use this?" And that can be a difficult question to answer because sometimes it's really hard for you students to see the connections between what we're doing in high school math and how it will relate to your lives later on. And while there are a lot of good answers, the one that I find myself going back to time and time again, and for all of you that have had me in the past, you'll know this is true. High school math is all about learning problem-solving skills. I know that might seem silly when we're just solving for X in equations, but really what you are teaching your brain to do is to look at the problem, decide what the best course of action is, and take that course of action and see if it solves your problem. If it doesn't solve your problem, you need to try something else. So today, instead of talking about solving for X, we're going to talk about some other ways that you can use problem solving in a more fun environment while you're at home. Board and card games. That's right. Those things that you do when you're having a game night with your family, they're actually teaching you some really great math and problem solving skills. Just think about it. Let's start with some games that most people have in their houses, like checkers or chess. Both of those games require an immense amount of planning from the beginning if you're going to win. They also require you to be able to look at how your opponent moves and react accordingly. Another great game that involves a lot of planning is the game of Monopoly. You have to plan a lot there, and you even have a little bit of a financial component of figuring out when to spend money and how to spend it wisely, and being ready for the possibility that you're going to have something like a luxury tax. Even a game like Scrabble, which is mainly based in words, is still a game that involves math skills, because if you want to win, you're going to have to hit those double and triple word tiles in order to maximize your points. A great math game is Yahtzee, because you are basically playing probabilities the whole time. Each roll of the dice, you have to decide whether or not you're going to keep what you have or going to try a different strategy. For example, one of the hardest combinations to get in Yahtzee, other than a Yahtzee, which is five of the same dice, is to get the large straight, which is either a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, or a 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So, if the first roll that you get has a 2, 3, and a 4 in it, do you keep rolling and try to get the last two, or do you change course and decide that you're going to collect 2s or 3s or something else? That is a probability question that you have to mitigate the odds for. As a matter of fact, games with a little bit of luck like that are also a lot of fun because of the element of chance. Another great genre of games that really hits on math skills are any games based in logic or deduction. One of the most common that always comes to mind is Clue. In Clue, you're basically trying to figure out who was murdered and where and with what. You have a certain number of cards in your hand, and other players have cards as well. There are three missing cards from the deck, one person, one object, and one room. And so basically you have to walk around and figure out what you have, what the other players have, and what is missing from everybody's hand. That's about as pure as deduction can get. And when you add the element of the murder mystery twist, it sure is fun. Another really good game when you're talking about logic is Battleship. You are much more invested in the placement of items in Battleship and trying to figure out how somebody's 5-peg battleship can fit in a certain place versus their tiny 2-peg tank, which is always the hardest to find. But both of those games are easy to play, but build excellent skills when it comes to things like deduction, logic, and problem solving. So far, I've spent my time talking about a lot of games I expect to find in your game closets and cupboards. But there are a lot of new great board games out there. One that's been on the shelves at lots of stores that some of you might have at home is called Ticket to Ride. Ticket to Ride is an awesome game and an awesome math game. Not only are you building train routes across the country, but you have to do it in a timely manner. You have to have a certain amount of trains for each route, and you have to make sure that you have the right cards to get there. The more people you add, the harder the game gets, and the tension can lead to lots of fun, awesome game night play. Maybe board games aren't really your thing, and that's okay. There's lots of other games of different types out there. Maybe you're really into building things with your hands. In that case, you should try Jenga. Jenga is an awesome game for all my geometry kids out there. In Jenga, the goal is to remove blocks from the lower part of the tower to stack them on the higher part of the tower. And this is going to require a lot of dexterity and a lot of really careful movements when it comes to the blocks down below. Not all blocks are going to move easily, and so the more you know about building, the better you probably will be at the base idea of this game. Another game that has a lot of names, but at our house we've always called it Slapjack, involves just a deck of cards. And when you play it, you are turning over cards, and if you turn over two that are the same, you slap them, and you get the pile. There's more rules to it than that, and you can look them up if you're interested, but it's a really fun, fast, easy game, but you really have to be paying attention, and you have to have some dexterity, all which are great for problem solving. So cards. We haven't talked about cards at all yet, but there are so many great card games out there, and all you need is a deck of cards, which I think most of you probably have somewhere in your home. I am not condoning gambling in any way, but one of the best card games for math skills is poker. Any and all kinds of poker. But if you're going to play poker, play for bragging rights, not for money. Especially with the people that you live with. But poker is great when it comes to thinking about what cards are in the deck and what's left and what is the best, most optimal hand that you can get. Poker has a ton of different variations and draw amounts and things of that nature. So if you're interested, go ahead and Google it and see what you can find out. Another great card game that a lot of you probably have that's an awesome math game is Uno. In Uno, you are trying to look for different sets and optimize your hand so that you can be the first person to not have cards anymore. That might seem like a really simple idea. I think a lot of these sound like really simple ideas. But so many of these simple ideas will help with your math skills and train your brain to be better problem solvers. Two other games that come to mind when I think of cards are games like Rummy and Phase 10. Rummy you can just play hand by hand, or you can play something like a contract rummy, which requires you to have different levels of hands at different times in the game. Phase 10 is a similar version of this, but with a different deck of cards. Both of those games are great because they require both building and planning hand to hand. Things will change and the number of cards that you'll have will change. So both of those are really good for long-term planning, which is also a really important skill. Another genre of games out there that only require a deck of cards but introduce an entirely new element to problem solving are trick-taking games like 500 Bid and Euchre and Hearts. In all of these games, you have what's called a trump suit, which is a suit of cards that acts differently than they normally would. A lot of times, the trump changes depending on what the hand is and how the game is played, but these games are a lot of fun and often require a lot of planning and a different type of thinking altogether. If you've never played a trick-taking game, I really recommend giving it a try. It's a whole different genre of cards that is really fun, especially to play with groups of people. Of course, these are great games to play with adults, but what if you are home with younger siblings? Let's talk about some games that we can play with younger people in our lives. Several of the board games that we talked about could be played with younger siblings. But let's talk about some good card games for younger siblings. Things like Crazy Eights or High-Low, also known as War, Old Maid. Those are all great games that are very easy to play with a regular deck of cards that you can teach to younger siblings. And just because they are simple games doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't games worth playing. Especially when you are the one doing the teaching of the game, it can provide a whole different and new element to your problem solving. Now not only are you trying to make sure that you play the game correctly, but you are trying to make sure that another person stays within that rule system. You'd be surprised to know how much teaching somebody else a skill can develop your own. And in case there's anyone out there who ends up spending a good amount of their day by themselves, there's always the game of solitaire. Actually, there's many games of solitaire. Solitaire is a game with many, many different kinds of variations out there. Some of my favorites are the standard Klondike Solitaire, probably the one that most of you have seen played before. There's Pyramid Solitaire. There's Golf Solitaire or Yukon Solitaire. And one of my personal favorites growing up was what we called the clock game. Look it up. You basically make a clock out of the cards, and then you are trying to avoid the kings and get all of the other cards uncovered before the king. It is extremely hard to win, but it is a lot of fun. In all forms of solitaire, there are rules that you have to follow, and there are things that you can and cannot do. This is what makes it difficult, but also what teaches you problem-solving skills. Many solitaire games have an element of planning, and most solitaires are extremely hard to win. Speaking of solitaire, I'd like to give a shout-out to my fifth period study hall, who played a fast-paced multiplayer version of solitaire, often on Fridays, in our classroom. And it was always fun to watch, and they always seemed to be having a ball. There are so many board and card games out there that I could go on forever. Really, I could. But this isn't about picking a new game or spending money at this current time. It's about playing the games that you have and having fun with them. So if you know there's a game that your family really likes to play, play that game. There is definitely an element in the game of problem solving if you look to find it. One personal example of a game many of you probably don't have is a game called Quarto. It is a take on tic-tac-toe. It is a fast game, takes maybe 10 minutes to play. But there is a huge amount of deduction in it, and in order to get four in a row that have the same attribute, it's really hard. The twist on that game, you get to give the opponent the piece that they have to place on the board. It's really fun, and it's also really, really thinky, even though it's a very simple game. So every game can have an element of deduction in it if you look for it. During this time, being at home is really hard, and I know as a teacher I'm missing all of you. But one of the things that's nice about this time is that we actually have time to do things we wouldn't normally do. And so, given the gift of time, we should take advantage of it with the people that we're with. Board and card games are a great way to interact with the people around you in a fun and interactive way that a lot of the time we don't have time to do. And students, I bet if you ask one of your parents tonight to teach you a game that they've never taught you before, most of them probably know a game that would be new to you but old to them and fun for everyone. Another thing about our current situation is that we are actually using technology a lot more right now because of remote learning. And so for all of us, we're using phones and computers and tablets a lot more than we did on a day-to-day basis before. I know for myself, at the end of the school day, I'm really ready to unplug from all of those devices and do something that doesn't involve looking at a screen. So let's try to find some ways to have a little fun without a screen. Open up the game cabinet, put down your technology, and have some old-fashioned face-to-face fun with board and card games. Take this family time, mixed with a little bit of friendly competition, and problem-solve your way to a victory. Your math teacher next year will thank you for it.